Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I hope this finds you well. My name is Paul Nichols. I am your host. I'm known as the Investor Coach. The show you're listening to is It's Your Money. Welcome. This show was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I hope you're having a great day. Man, has it been rocky this week in the market. What do you think with Greece and the shenanigans going? Well, that's not the right word. The stuff that's going on over there got people all fired up around the world. And I will tell you that for the most part, as it relates to your financial future and your retirement plans, it's much ado about nothing. But we're going to talk about that today. I've got a few things I'm going to share with you today. Today's show, I believe, is going to be one of the more impactful shows that I've done in quite a while because we have figured something out in our office that has created such clarity concerning the concept of deferring tax that I'm absolutely eager to share it with you. But what I'm going to do first is hit on a couple areas. I want to do our market update, which we do on a regular basis. As a quick primer, the intent of the market update is to give people a source they can go to, and in 10, 15 minutes, they can get an idea of how the market's doing globally. Not just the U.S., not just small companies or large companies or cash or T-bills or any of that. How is the global marketplace doing? Because when it comes to investing, you want to invest in the entire global marketplace. You want market returns. Returns come from the market, not from managers. And of course, we've had some turmoil this week because of Greece and the sovereign debt issue that they have over there. But let's go ahead and get into the market update. This is as of 6/29, June 29th. I'm recording this on the 30th, but June 29th. And what we have here, let's go ahead and whip through this rather expeditiously. The Russell 2500 Index, which measures small to mid-sized companies in the U.S. So small to mid-U.S. year-to-date, the market update year-to-date, that index, that area of the marketplace, as of 6/29/2015 is 4.36%. Wow, that took a heck of a punch. Last week it was 8%. When we go on to the Russell 2000, which measures the performance of small to micro-sized U.S., we got 4.15 year-to-date compared to 7.9 last week. Wow. U.S. large took a big hit, as well as small. When we go into the large area, that would be the Russell 1000 Value Index. What we have is a negative 0.79. Ouch, a negative 0.8. It was 2.15 last week. In fact, let me jump over to the S&P 500, which measures not value large, but growth-oriented large companies, and it is as well in the negative. It was 3.1 last week and 0.06. Now, today's green. It's looking good, so we'll see what happens. The market does bounce back quickly. And then the one I overlooked, which was small cap value, not small growth, but small value, 0.7%. So we've given back a couple points, 2-3 points respectively. I believe we'll get that back over the next couple few days. That's normally what you see, at least what we've seen with the bugaboos with Greece. And, you know, it's really more about irrational reactions, which is a ripple effect of what's happened over in Greece. You know, the Dow is going to drop, of course, because 27 of the 30 Dow companies have international exposure in Europe, and they're preparing for that. But the reason you see other areas of the marketplace, it's a ripple effect of primarily irrational reactions. And basically, that's what we see. Because as I'm going to share with you, default on a country defaulting on their debt is nothing new. Let's go into the international arena. Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. This would be looking at the developed markets internationally, and it's 1.63%. Wow, we've given up quite a bit there. That one took a big hit. It was 5% last week. We go into the emerging markets. It's 0.32%. That would measure the emerging markets. Morgan Stanley Capital International free-floating market capitalization weighted index to measure the emerging markets. These would be countries like Argentina, Brazil, Czech Republic, etc. Now, Greece is in the developed arena. But emerging markets also went down. It's 0.32%. And then we round out with the winner internationally, year to date, 629/2015. The Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe Australia Far East, it's 4.53%, dropped off about 4 points from last week. So what we're seeing across the board is, as I just shared, 2 to 3 4-point attenuation, primarily due to the news of Greece and the irrational reactions of the global marketplace as a result. They'll bounce back. We should see green over the next couple days, but you never know. The market goes up, the market goes down. It has a two-thirds bias. One out of every 3 years is up. Slash that, reverse it. Two out of every 3 years is up. One out of every 3 years is down. We have a two-thirds bias. You never know which year is going to be which. That's why it's important to understand the concept of diversification and dissimilar price movement. You want to own umbrellas and suntan lotion. Yeah, we want to own companies in Greece and in Germany and Hong Kong and Ireland and Japan and Netherlands and New Zealand and Norway and Portugal and Singapore and Spain and Sweden, Switzerland, UK, Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Russia, South Africa, Taiwan, Thailand, Turkey, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Colombia, Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, and I haven't even gotten to all of them. Yes, you want to be in all of them. Would this be an indicator for you to pull all your money out of Greece and move it somewhere else? That would be a huge mistake. Big, huge, massive. Why? Because historically, the market always rebounds to new highs. It always has. It always will, and unless there's something changes globally, extinction-level type changes, that would have us do things different, ladies and gentlemen. Don't buy in all the hype. In fact, I was on the phone with a dear friend and a client this morning, and he was going on again about the negative situation we have here, there, and everywhere. You talk to people about the debt, and people just groan on about how bad things are. And I have to share with you that a couple days ago during my quiet meditation time every morning, it hit me that I hear this from so many people, but when I went up and started looking for indicators out in the marketplace, I didn't find them out in the world. In every area, just about every area, it's better than it's ever been before. I mean, we look at longevity and medicine and water and food and living and health conditions and per capita income and go on and on and on. Now, are there pockets of it's more the platform in which people, the country finds himself on that we get so much disgruntled news. But, you know, it's easy to throw mud. It's easy to, you know, to throw dirt. Of course, whenever you throw dirt, you lose ground, which ties right into the second point that I wanted to make today, and that is this whole concept of debt and this debt issue being a deal breaker as it relates to investing globally. I have in my hand 4 or 5 pages here, and it talks about examples of sovereign debt. And I'm going to quote here just 1 or 2 sentences. A failure of a nation to meet bond repayments has been seen on many occasions. Philip II of Spain defaulted on debt 4 times in 1557, 1560, 75, and 1596, becoming the first nation in history to declare sovereign default. This is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. The United Kingdom has defaulted since the 1820s, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times. I can go through here in this list, and it's mind-boggling. When you look at the African continent, in the last roughly 200 years, they've had 22 countries default. You look at the Americas, 27 countries have defaulted. Basically, every country except the U.S. and Canada, I believe. No, Canada did actually in 1935. We never have. You look at Asia, 14 countries. You look at Europe, 28 countries, and the worst of them is Greece. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. This would be the 9th time that Greece has had problems with sovereign debt. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. Don't let all the hype and all the shenanigans out there and all the screaming heads and all the town criers disturb or disrupt your peace of mind. Investing is very simple. It's a lifelong endeavor. Own equities, diversify, rebalance. And that's all I got to say about that today. Let me move on to my last item. My last item is one that I believe is of vital importance that people understand. And this is on the concept of tax deferral. Should I fund a traditional IRA or should I fund a Roth IRA? And for the vast majority of people, with only a very rare exception, that is a no-brainer. Everybody should fund a Roth, traditional Roth IRA over traditional IRA, barring very high income earners. Because what we have found in my practice over 500 clients is the vast majority of people that we work with are in the same tax bracket after they retire than when they were working. And, you know, the whole story and the whole reasoning for one to fund an IRA is to get a tax break on the seed, hoping that the harvest, they would be in a lower tax bracket. The reality is most people are in the same or higher tax bracket. Why? Well, because they follow many rules of thumb that are not correct, i.e. they pay off their house. They have no mortgage deduction. They are not funding IRAs anymore, so they don't have that deduction. Their kids are all gone, and perhaps they might even be single, not even head of household, and they don't get any of those deductions. And now they wonder why they have less income than they were working but paying more in taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, with my calculator in my office and amongst our staff, we cannot make an argument to defer taxes unless you are a very strong income earner and you're definitely go down in tax bracket. And the reason is, in the same tax bracket, it matters not. So if you defer taxes in a traditional IRA versus not doing it in a Roth IRA, and you're in the same tax bracket when you do it and you retire in the same tax bracket, which most people do, the numbers are exactly the same, whether you deferred or didn't defer, with a couple exceptions. One, do you believe tax rates are going to be lower, higher, or the same in the future? If you believe they're going to be higher, which is the predominant answer I get from people, then why would you postpone paying tax? The other thing that the industry is, I've never read or heard anyone talk about, is when you look at deferring taxes, deferring, so you're getting a tax break now, the idea is that you have a much larger account on the other end because of the tax savings that you had growing on the side. Well, when you look at the tax liability of that while it's growing on the side, waiting to go in, and the fees on investment fees related to that side bucket, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot crunch in numbers to make sense, even in the same bracket that you retire in, that you work in, that it makes sense to defer. In fact, our calculator tells us that the vast majority of Americans are making the wrong choice. Now, my reaction, if I was hearing this for the first time, as you may be, would at first be, wait a minute, that guy's a fruitcake. He can't be right. Why? Because it's hard to admit or even consider doing something that you've been doing the opposite of. So a lot of people right away want to resist this type of information because they are deferring tax and they believe that it's the smartest thing to do. It's the smartest thing for the government. It's the smartest thing for the financial industry. It's the smartest thing for the accounting and law industry, but it's not the smartest thing for the investor. And the reality is, I have found that I get passionate about this, ladies and gentlemen, because so many people out there are spewing information. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're just a parrot of a large organization that's telling them what to say and how to say it. But when you put a little thought, grab a pad and a pencil and a calculator and sit down and look at the vast majority of financial rules of thumb, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, they're wrong. I submit to you, in fact, if you think I'm wrong, I challenge you to call my office or get a hold of us and let's have a conversation about it. I love to learn, and I believe steel sharpens steel. You want to learn, you get around people smarter than you. You challenge people smarter than you or people around you, because that's how we all grow and are lifted up. So let me tie this off by saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's as clear and as strong as I can say it. If you are deferring tax and have not seriously looked at the reality of what that's going to mean for your retirement income and distributions when you start to need income after you retire, you need to get a hold of us. Talk to somebody who's telling people not to defer. And by the way, let me ask you a quick question. I'll just leave you to stew on this one. If you're an investment advisor and you're getting paid based on the balance of one's account, would you want that balance to be higher or lower? Well, I submit to you, you would want it to be higher Well, if you're encouraging people to defer tax, it will be higher. But if you're like me in my office encouraging people not to defer tax, it's going to be a lower account that you're paying fees on because it's an after-tax account. It makes me crazy, ladies and gentlemen, that, again, most of the rules that I see when they sound good when you first hear them. But when you start to dig into them using some actual practical application of the theoretical information, very few of them hold water long term. With that being said, I've talked long enough. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial service industry and exposing the truth about money and investing, the truth about the rule makers and the motivation of the rule makers, i.e. the government, the banking system, the insurance industry, etc., the financial services industry. If you want to learn more about the realities of money and the realities of investing, go to our website, faicoach.com, faicoach.com. It has a few videos. It gives you a taste of what we do. Or get a hold of us here in the office. You can email me directly, paulin@financialabundanceinc.com. Our contact information is on fai.com. Thank you for listening. I hope this finds you well. I hope this has enriched you in some small way. And if you would like to learn more, or you find this to be conflictual to your understanding of the way things work, we're here as a source to create clarity as it relates to that. Paul Nichols signing off. Have an awesome day. And go, you know what? Enjoy the wonderful, precious Independence Day weekend that we have in this wonderful country we call America. If you're an American, ladies and gentlemen, an American citizen, you have won the lotto just by the fact that you're American. What a wonderful place to live. You know, we don't have anybody trying to race to any other countries, but we have every other country in the world trying to come to this country. And you know, this is the only country that assimilates other countrymen, ironically. You know, I can't go to Greece and become a Greek. I can't go to Italy and become an Italian, but an Italian can come here and become American. Man, ain't it great.